Mel, is the turkey supposed to be smoking?
First, let's give thanks to our families not being here. Who invited you?
Who invited you?
I invited all you fools.
The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims.
Gary, she's changing the words.
Thanksgiving-themed movies, since movies are on our mind for this very big movie Thanksgiving weekend. Kristen Meinzer is here, takeaway culture producer and co-host of the Movie Date podcast with Rafer Guzman, who's a film critic for Newsday and also co-host of the podcast. Welcome, guys.
Hi, John.
So we've got a lot to get through here, including looking forward to the Christmas movies, which are already starting to loom like giant motherships over the earth. Let's talk about the first film that is this weekend, Creed. Here's a clip.
Yeah, he's great. Perfect fighter. Ain't nobody ever better.
So how'd you beat him?
Time beat him. Time, you know, takes everybody out. It's undefeated. Anyway, I got a lot.
So when Mickey died, he came and talked to you, right? Talked you out of quitting, took you to L.A., trained you, brought you back.
How do you know all this?
How do you think?
What are you, like a cousin?
He's my father.
So this is an exercise in extraordinary Rocky nostalgia here. What do you think, Kristen?
Well, I have to say I went into this very skeptical because, you know, this Rocky franchise has been going on for as long as I've been alive. Do we really need a Rocky 7? And the last Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, was just absolutely horrible. This one, we're stretching the story quite a bit. We have Apollo Creed's son, who is now grown. He's going to be a boxer. He tracks down Rocky and he says, you need to train me. I want to be a boxer. And I thought, oh, this sounds horrible. But I have to say, there's a lot of heart to this story. The training scenes are great. The boxing scenes are out of this world. I couldn't help but cheer. I loved this movie.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure I would say I loved this movie. I did like it, which I was surprised by. I was also glad to see that Sylvester Stallone is not in the ring, that he's on the trainer's stool this time, which I think is befitting his age. Michael B. Jordan, who plays Adonis Creed, I think is really good. And those boxing scenes, I have to say, are spectacular. There's one scene that is done in a single take over multiple rounds that is just a total stunner.
No,
it's incredible. The movie itself, a little on the wobbly side. I'm not sure I bought the story, but Ryan Coogler from Fruitvale Station is the director, and he does a very good job.
Well, if you're looking for realism, I guess the next movie is what we really ought to think about here, The Good Dinosaur, right? that'll help you out. Rafer, here's the clip.
I got a job for you.
Good at jobs.
I need you to keep on the dodge and sidle up the lob lolly past them horn heads, just hooting and hollering and score off them rustlers. We'll cut dirt and get the bulge on them.
What? He just wants you to get on that rock and scream. But who's out there?
They'll come right at you. You hold your ground. Don't move.
Don't move? What if they have claws and big teeth?
You can kind of imagine the dinosaurs there with those very familiar, evocative voices. Rafer, what do you think?
Well, this takes place in a sort of a what-if world where the dinosaurs are coexisting with humans. That comet did not kill the dinosaurs. It passed them by. Spot is the little cave boy that befriends Arlo, the Apatosaurus. I will say this is a Disney Pixar movie, and it's one of the most technically dazzling things I think they've ever done. The backdrops, not the kind of thing you normally notice, but the backdrops, the scenery is just astounding. It's photoreal. You would not be able to distinguish it from the real thing.
That's a clue right there. If he's watching the back.
All right, so here.
What does that mean? Yeah.
And so here comes the other shoe. The story is just baffling. It's so bad that Sam Elliott there as a cattle rustling T-Rex. Arlo the Apatosaurus comes from a homesteading, corn-growing family. I don't know where The Good Dinosaur thought it was a Western, but somehow it's become this kind of oddball sort of mix of like
Focus
the Ice
group,
Age
baby.
Movie.
Focus and, group. We need Ice Age. We need Western. Come on.
With
put
True
it all
Grit.
In there.
It's the weakest Pixar movie of the bunch, I have
no
to say.
Kidding. What do you think?
I have to agree and disagree with Rafer on this. I have to agree that the story is, I don't know what they were thinking. I have to disagree that this is technically dazzling. A lot of it just... It did not blow me away the way it blew Rafer away. There was a nice waterfall at one point. A river looks good. Some of the tornadoes look nice. But overall, I was so underwhelmed by this, and I cannot imagine any child today that's used to fast-paced comedy enjoying this. Our main character, Arlo, is lost for most of the movie, trying to find his way home. Most of the time, there's no dialogue. He has a human boy, Spot, as Rafer mentioned, who speaks no English, no language at all. So it's his buddy who doesn't speak at all, and him looking around and trying to find his way home. Like, is that the way home? Is that the way home?
Never finding Arlo, I guess, is the premise here.
Right.
All right, let's get to the third movie, which actually has some serious Oscar momentum, Carol. Here's a clip.
I'm sure you thought it was a man who sent you back your gloves.
I did. Thought it might have been a man in the ski department.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm delighted. I doubt very much I would have gone to lunch with him.
Oh, your perfume.
Yes.
It's nice.
Thank you. Harge bought me a bottle years ago.
Harge is your husband?
Mm-hmm. Well, technically, we're divorcing.
I'm sorry.
Don't be.
So this is a period piece. It's also an acting tour de force and a real directorial piece of work here, because it takes a story that is from a time before, but makes it very, very relevant to today. What did you think?
Yeah, it's not just from a time before, but it's inspired by Patricia Highsmith's actual semi-autobiographical novel, The Price of Salt. And it's in the 1950s. We have Cate Blanchett playing a soon-to-be divorced woman named Carol, and we have Rooney Mara playing a young woman named Therese, who they develop a romance. And what I love about this movie are the impeccable details. The costumes, the makeup are fantastic. The acting is great. The cinematography is great. But the one thing I love the most about this is it's not a tragic lesbian story. There's so much more to this, and I don't feel that it pathologizes gayness in any way. And in that way, it seems both of our times now and completely timeless.
Well, it seems like this is about women making choices, and that's what makes it so relevant. Rafer, what did you think?
I mean, I have to agree with Kristen. It's beautiful looking. It's directed by Todd Haynes in that Douglas Sirk mode that he loves so much. Cate Blanchett is absolutely extraordinary. It's her second Oscar-worthy performance of the year after Truth, I would say. And again, I agree with Kristen. The story does not have the kind of tragic, super tragic overtones that a lot of gay fiction and movies often do, and I think that's one of the most amazing things about the film.
And finally, The Danish Girl, which is the other sort of big picture here. Let's hear a very quick clip.
What was it about him?
I don't know. Well, we went for coffee. And after, I kissed him. And it was the strangest thing. It was like kissing myself.
The first transsexual. It's sort of an amazing movie. We talked about it before on the program. What did you think, Rafer?
I like this movie. It's another Oscar contender, I think. Another possible shot at the Oscar for
Eddie
Redmayne, who
right?
plays the lead character. I wouldn't say I love this movie. I think it has some kind of oversimplifications of the transgender issue.
What do you think?
I thought the best thing about this movie was Gerda, and the actress who plays her is Alicia Vikander, Lily's wife.
Yes.
Podcast?
We have an interview with the Danish Girl screenwriter, Lucinda Cox.
Perfect segue. Kristen Mines, your takeaway culture producer. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, the Movie Date podcast. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
You too, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.